Rabbeinu Yoina, as mentioned, was born in Toledo in 1260, was Nifter in 1263, lived throughout the 1200s. And as mentioned, that he was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Shloime in Ohor. And Rabbeinu Yoina lived in the time of the Ramban. As a matter of fact, they were also cousins, which is the mother of Ramban, was a sister to the father of Rabbeinu Yoina. So that makes them first cousins. But in addition to that also, the son of the Ramban had a son, Reb Shloime. And Reb Shloime was the son-in-law of Rabbeinu Yoina. So they were, in addition to being first cousins, they were also mechutonim, since Reb Shava Kiveh. An interesting thing is, when Rabbeinu Yoina was nifter, the Ramban actually told his son, Reb Shloime, when he had a baby, a child, by Svardim they would give a name. Of course, after a living grandfather, wouldn't be a problem. Ramban's name himself was Reb Moshe. But when Reb Shloime, the son of the Ramban, had a child, Ramban said to give a name after Rabbeinu Yoina, who was, again, was his mechutan, was his cousin, and so on. One of the miyuchet, something very unique about Rabbeinu Yoina, is that among the Rishonim themselves, that he would be zoichet to the title Chosid. He would be titled to the title Chosid. It would be actually privileged to have miyuchetic titles, which was not so common to be written in the time of Rishonim. As a matter of fact, the Ramban, there's Shalsi Chuvis Ramban. Ramban, in one of the Chuvis, there in Simon Reish Pei Dalad, Ramban writes, regarding Rabbeinu Yoina, a very unusual title, Frat for the Ramban. He writes, Aloshin, Ishali Kim Kodosh Hu Harav HaChosid, Rabbeinu Yoina, and so on and so forth. It's extremely, extremely rare to have this type of a title. It's not like today where titles are thrown around. But even today, to write this kind of a Lishoinus is also still a bit unusual. But this is what Ramban wrote on Rabbeinu Yoina. He writes, Ishali Kim Kodosh Hu Harav HaChosid. Also, one of the most popular Mefarshim Al HaTorah, going back to the time of Rishonim, because Rabbeinu Bechaya. Then Bechaya in the Yekdom Al HaTorah, so he writes as following. He writes that I glean from the great Perushim that I can find, writes Rabbeinu Bechaya. And he writes, Meperushe Echot Kodesh Medaber Nechbodo Is Azkir. I also would like to mention, he says, a parish of one of the Kedoshim, Echot Kodesh. And Ben Mechai writes, Hu ish elekim b'teire omoid upine. He's a pillar and he's a cornerstone of the world. And he goes on to say, Harav Hagodol Rabbeinu Yoina, and so on. And does not stop there. I guess once he started writing, mentioning Rabbeinu Yoina, so Rabbeinu Mechai continues on and he says, regarding the words and the Chidushim of Rabbeinu Mechai, so he writes as follows. He says, Dvorov Oshis Ateres Poz L'Roshoi. Roshi, I will take the words of Rabbeinu Yoina and make a crown of glory around my head, L'Hachyoisis Nafshi, to give Chiyus to my soul. And he says, Mayokar Chiburoi Mizohov Mikol Pninin. How dear and how choshev, how precious is the Chibur Rabbeinu Yoina, more than gold and precious jewels. And then he goes on further. He says, what I wish, Man Yohivlon Ma'afre, he says, Demar, Halavai would be able to have some of the offer of his kever. Halavai, Man Yohivlon Ma'afre, Demar, Umalinen Ainin, and I would take that offer and fill my eyes with it. These are words of Rabbeinu Bechaya. Again, commentary is not necessary to appreciate, of course, the godless Rabbeinu Yoina. And I think Kedai also to mention that the Tashbetz, Rabbeinu Shimon Bar Tzemach, the Tashbetz, of course, was one of the Gedolim in Spain. He was born in 1361 in Mallorca. And he also was a great book in many other disciplines as well. Basically, he had a lot of knowledge in the sciences, in astronomy, mathematics, and philosophy. And in one of the Sfarim of the Tashbetz, Sefer Moginovis, he writes regarding Rabbeinu Yoina. He says, V'loikom komoyu, he says, Loikom Kamoyu, he says, Medaber Beiris Hashem, there is no one else, he says, who has arisen to be able to speak regarding Yiris Hashem, Lahamshich, he says, Libois Bnei Yodom Lidarkei Chasidus, to be able to attract and to be able to influence people to bring them to Darkei Chassidus. No one, he says, kamoyu, like Rabbeinu Yoyne. Of course, as mentioned, one of the many, many svarim of Rabbeinu Yoyne is this Chidushim al Hashas, and we said many of it is lost, but of course we have Aliyus to Rabbeinu Yoyne, which is on Bava Basra, very, very popular sefer, the sefer Hayira, Shari Tshuva, that we are learning, Igeres HaTshuva. There's also Perish Rabbeinu Yoyne, Masechtes Ovis, and on Mishle. Besides that which was collected by the Talmidim, which we have in Masechtes Brachos, as we see by the Rif, in Masechtes Brachos surrounding the Rif, we have Talmidim Rabbeinu Yoyne, and so on and so forth. It's kedai just to mention that what Reb Chaim Volozhin once pointed out regarding Rabbeinu Yoyne, the Sefer Shari Tshuva. So Reb Chaim Volozhin said that the truth is there are many, many Sifrei Musar. And he pointed out to say that Sifrei Musar, he says, not all Sifrei Musar, he says, are basically are miyuchad feature in every person. Different people are basically have a sensitivity, have attraction to different Musar. Some Sefer Musar can influence particular people. Other people need a different Sefer of Musar. It's not Shovel Lechol Nefesh. Everybody has to find that Sefer which he feels is Ma'ir him. So he points out that there's, for some person might want to learn Reishis Chochmah. One person might want to learn Shevet Musar. Somebody else Chovis Halvovis. Somebody else Mesilas Yisharim. However, said Reb Chaim, he says, regarding Sefer Shari Tshuva that we are learning now, Sefer Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yoyne, he says, is shovel lechol ish Yehudi b'chol hazmanim b'chol hatkufet. It doesn't matter when and where, he says, ad bi'az goyel tzedek, that is the Sefer Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yoyne. So this is something very, very special. And again, it's one of the great Rishonim, and it's a big privilege that we have the opportunity to be able to study a little bit of the works of Rabbeinu Yoyne regarding Shari Tshuva. All the Bala Musa, of course, in the Olam HaYeshivas, and dealing with Musar, the Altifun Kelim, and so on and so forth, everybody touched upon the Sefer Shari Tshuva was really the classic and a basis for teaching Musar and learning Musar and to be Marit Tshuva. So we take a look, Rabbi Isai, we are here in Shar Aleph, of course, and this is Sif Beis, where we're up to. Sif Beis. And Rabbi Yehuda begins, and he says, Vida. Rabbi Yehuda says, Vida, he says, I would like you to know. And before we begin the actual words of the Sif Beis, let's just point out, because Rabbi Yehuda mentioned heretofore that we studied last week about the great Toivus impressing upon us, the great Toiv and the great Matona, of the many, many Toivus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with Am Yisrael, is to give us the Matona of Tshuva, the great gift of Tshuva. That Rabbi Yehuda pointed out in Sif Aleph in the previous situation that we learned. And it's a tremendous Matona. But what Rabbeinu Yoyne goes on now in Sif Beis, which he tries to tell us, that you realize, as great a matona it is, and being that it's such a tremendous matona, the ability to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us the opportunity, granted us the schus to do tshuva, but that can also turn into a liability. Because now that we do have the opportunity to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give us that gift, any person does not take advantage, in other words, any bal choyte, which unfortunately everybody is, to some extent, greater or more or less. So any person who delays doing tshuva, turns out that it impacts even greater on the avera that he did. Because now that you do have an opportunity, you did the avera is one thing, but why don't you do tshuva? Because Rahu gave the opportunity to do tshuva. So this tremendous, tremendous matona also carries with it a tremendous achrayis and a tremendous responsibility. And let's take a look here at the words of Rabbeinu Yoyne regarding that. The person does not avail himself, does not make use of the inyan of tshuva, so amela really that will impact much greater on the penalty regarding the avera. The very fact that he did not do tshuva really increases his achrayis and his responsibility. So goes Rabbeinu Yoyne and he says as follows, Vida, I want you to know, ki achoyte, a person who had sinned, kasha yis'achar loshuv mechatosoi, if he basically delays and he defers repentance, as he says, from doing tshuva from his chait, yichbad olof me'oid onshoy b'chol yoyim. He says, basically, he says, it will intensify. It will intensify the avera, he says, each day. In other words, where Ben Yoyne, really, there's one more nekuda that we have to pick up here. Ben Yoyne is pointing out, besides the other liabilities, by the way, not taking advantage of tshuva, there are also a lot of other setbacks, which Ben Yoyne talks about later. For example, the very fact, if a person does not do tshuva, what it means basically he does not stop what he's doing. So that itself means that he's going to add more avarice to his life. That, of course, itself is with itself. Not doing tshuva means that a person basically continues to do what he's doing. He's not doing tshuva. He's not charting a new course in his life. So in addition, of course, of being marbe chatoim, adding more and more chatoy, more and more sins to his life, in addition to something else. Because the longer the person delays doing tshuva, we know that the same thing is with every avera. Chazal say, when a person repeats an avera, nasis loy keheter, ovar vishonabo. You do an avera, vishonabo, and you repeat it, it becomes like a heter. So too, a person who delays doing tshuva and so on and so forth, the averas become a heter. So of course we know there are many liabilities to a situation where a person who sins and does not do tshuva. But Rabbi Yoin is adding the extra added dimension that Veda, I want you to know, besides the all other situations, the other liabilities, these are side effects, but the etzem fact for not doing tshuva carries with it its own responsibility. Again, that he says, that yichbad olav ma'oid onshoy b'chol yoin. That basically every day it becomes intensified. The penalty of the balaveri becomes intensified basically each day. Again, Rabbi Yoin is saying an extra thing here. In other words, somebody will say, okay, I delay doing tshuva maybe for a week. Maybe it counts on a monthly basis. No, it says every day. Every day that goes by is a cheshman on its own. So a person who delays doing tshuva, he says, yichbad olav ma'oid onshoy poshid b'chol yoin. Ki hu yodeya, because the sinner really knows. We're talking about a person who's a mamin, of course. We're not about those who have no idea what the Kodesh Baruch Hu is about, those who have no idea what Torah is about. There's nothing to speak about. We're talking about people who are maminin, but of course we are all balei choyte. So therefore, says Rabbi Yoin, because being kihu yodeya, being that the sinner knows, ki yotza haketzef olav, he knows by doing the avera, he basically caused anger min hashamayim upon him. And the yesh loy monos lonu shoma. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a sanctuary to where he can flee to. Now, you did an avera, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, you did an avera, but I'm giving you a place. I'm giving you a place where you can run to. What does it mean? Where is that sanctuary? Where can you run to? V'hamonois hu ha-tshuva. He says, the sanctuary of repentance. It is the mokoim that a person is able to take himself out of his quagmire by doing tshuva. So being that he knows, on the one hand he did an avera, and he knows that as a result of the avera, yotza ha-ketzef olof, he basically, anger went forth min ha-shamayim upon him. At the same time, he knows how he can basically be misakin that. He can rectify all of that by running to the safe haven, by running to the sanctuary, which is tshuva. And yet he disregards that opportunity. And yet he continues and he persists in his rebellion. And he continues to do evil. And it is within his power, basically, to come out, to emerge from all of his turmoil. And he is not afraid. And still he does not fear the scorn and the wrath as a result of his avera. So al came because of all that, ro'osoi rabo. It means, therefore, that his evil, therefore, becomes very, very great. So Rabbi Yoin basically points out a few things. Number one, he tells us that a person, being that now we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to do tshuva, a person does not take advantage of that, that means he's oimed b'mordo, he basically is a rebellious person. It means he does not become affected by the fact that he did an avera, and the fact that he's causing shemayim, the anger, and so on and so forth. So he's basically continues to do what he's doing. He's an oimed b'mordoi. In addition, also he's showing that he's not afraid of, there's no yiras oinish. Maybe somehow he does not believe in the oinish. That basically reduces him, takes away from his real amunah b'Hashem, because one of the essential fundamentals in amunah b'Hashem is not just believing in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but the belief in schar v'yoinish. So now, if you really would believe in the oinish, so how is it possible that there is an opportunity to do tshuva and you don't avail yourself, but rather you continue doing what you're doing? And as a result, he's clearly showing that he's not really afraid. He does not fear the scorn and the wrath. That really compounds his avera alkein ra'osoi rabo. So basically, therefore, his avera is intensified and it is great. Goes on Rabbeinu Yoin and he says the following. That the truth is that Chazal have told us, and here is really a famous moshel, and the moshel needs just somewhat, just a little bit of beer, and in the different mefarshim there's a sefer called Yod Haktano, which basically also wants to explain how the moshel really shtims, because somehow you may find out there might be a slight difficulty, but it's a gevaldig moshel, as you'll soon see. And Rabbi Yoin wants to give us a moshel to the person again who is a bal chayte, has the opportunity to do tshuva, and does not take the opportunity, does not avail himself of that opportunity, to understand why this is such a great avla, why this is considered to be such a great setback, why is this evaluated to be such a serious negative strike on his Hanhoge, on his the way he conducts himself. And he points out as follows, that there is a Chazal. Ve'omru Rabbeinu Zechroinu Levracha. There is a Medrash. And the Medrash is in Koheles Rabbah. And the Medrash says the following. The Medrash says, Moshel Likat Shalistim. Imagine that you have his situation, in other words, the person who does not do tshuva, he has the ability to do tshuva, he has the opportunity to do tshuva. The Moshel is to a Likat Shalistim. You have to imagine that you have a band of robbers, a band of thieves. They were caught. Shechov Shom HaMelech Bebeisu Asurim. That basically that they were caught and they were imprisoned by the Melech. They were imprisoned by the king. Now, what many, of course, prisoners plot, they try to do is to try to find ways to escape. Very few are successful. But imagine, says the Medrash, that these robbers that were imprisoned, they dug a tunnel, and they were successful to dig a tunnel, and basically to be able to free themselves. So says the Medrash, v'chotru machteris, and these prisoners, they dug until they forged an opening, parts of Yavairu. And really, they forged an opening, and they actually left. They escaped from prison. And yet, one of them remained. In other words, here you have a tunnel. Clearly, you have the ability to escape. You have the ability to run away. Most of them did, except one person. He stays. So, Bosar Beis Hasoyar, says the Medrash. So, the jailer comes upon him. And he comes into the prison, he comes into the cell, and then finally he sees that all of them are gone except one. He recognizes and he sees because there a tunnel was dug. And the jailer sees that there was a machteres, that what they dug. He sees the breach. And yet he sees that this last person still is confined. So the jailer himself is so upset. He says, you had the opportunity. You had the opportunity to escape. So he takes his rod and he beats him with it. Omaloi says to him, Kishayoim means to see. You person who has no seichel. You person, you're not a bar mazel. You unlucky person, he says to him. He says, don't you see that there's a breach before you? You have an opportunity to escape. Why did you not make haste, basically, to save yourself? So in similar fashion, a person has the ability to escape the wrath and also the consequences of his avera by doing tshuva, and yet he doesn't. So we have here the moshel and the nimshel. The moshel is, again, to the case of someone or a number of people, basically, who were imprisoned. Most of them escaped, one did not escape. And the moshel doesn't seem to be realistic because if someone remains, doesn't escape, he's not going to get beaten by the jailer. You can say the others broke the law. I mean, they dug a tunnel. Which was illegal, and they escaped. The one who remained, maybe he's stupid, he remained. But Lamaisa, the jailer, is going to say, "I'm hitting you for the fact that you also didn't run away, that you didn't avail yourself of the breach." Why would the jailer really hit him for that? So, the difference of opinion here in the Mefarshim. What does the Medrash mean that the Sar Beis HaSoyer sees the person who did not escape, which basically he did the right thing because he's supposed to be in prison? As we said, he's not too big pikeach. He should have possibly. So, what's pointed out in many of the Balamusar, that what the Medrash is trying to tell us, that the Sar Beis HaSoyer is upset. Because the truth is, if you analyze the person, the psychology of the person, who did not take advantage of escaping, why? Because it's a tzaddik, he wants to sit in prison for the Melech's sake. The point is, he's probably afraid, because the truth is, people who escape, when they're caught again, it's much more serious punishment. That's the chesed that many make. Many make, they don't want to take the opportunity to run away. Because they know that a person who is confined to prison, should he try to escape, and then he's caught, then of course, then the yoinish is compounded many, many more times. Like this, he'll sit out his sentence and be over with. That might be a good cheshbon if a person understands his matzav is not so serious. His matzav is not so serious, so it's not kedai to risk to escape. Because you know what? Sit out your 2 years, 1 year, whatever the situation is, but rather you're going to escape, you might have to sit another 15 years. Who knows what it is? But if a person really matzif is so serious that he's like condemned for life, Lamashal. So he has nothing to lose, only to gain. Because if he risks it, he may make it. But on the other hand, if he remains here, then he has no chance really to see the light. If he does not escape, such a person does not escape, it means he does not recognize the matzif he's in. He does not recognize the serious matzif, because if he would have evaluated how serious and how bad his matzav is, he certainly would have taken the risk. It would still be kedai to take a risk to escape, because he might have a chance at least to be free. The reason he's not taking the risk is why? Because he does not recognize his matzav and says, it's not kedai. Better let me sit it out. Says the Sar Beis HaSoyer, the beating of the Sar Beis HaSoyer is because he says to the prisoner, you don't recognize your matzav, he's saying to him. You don't recognize the matzav that you're in. You're here for an aveira, you're here for an infringement. You robbed, whatever the situation is, but if you're not escaping, it's because you think it's better over here, that means you don't recognize the chaymer hachet. And that's why you think it's not gefährlich, and it's not kedai to run off. It's not an easy task for a person always to do tshuva, because it means you have to change your life. It's not an easy situation. But you ask yourself, what are the alternatives? What is the other side? The other side is, his neshama is condemned for life if you don't do tshuva. The neshama will have to undergo the purification process, of course, in the next world and so on and so forth. Which is not for life. When I say for life, means to say is, it'll have to undergo a tikkun. And calls him out that tikkun is not taken care of. A person does not avail himself of tshuva means because he does not recognize the chomer achet. He does not recognize the matzav that he's in. The balavere, who has an opportunity to do tshuva, and he does not. Because he does not recognize the chomer achet, so he says, doing tshuva is a very difficult situation. It's easier for me not to do tshuva. That is only a cheshbon, that only comes into account if you don't recognize the matzav that you're in. If you would recognize the serious matzav that you're in, if you recognize what it means to be surrounded with sin, and the devastating effect that it has on you, then certainly you would take every opportunity to do tshuva. This is what it was, the moshul to the Sar Beis HaSoyer. So the Sar Beis HaSoyer, that he beats the person who did not escape, because the reason you're not escaping is because you don't recognize how serious your situation is. You're underestimating it, and you didn't therefore feel that it's kedai to take the risk to leave. So what we see over here, so far, so Rabbeinu Yoin is telling us again, that the chayte who is misacher to do tshuva on his chayt, so that itself intensifies the situation much, much more. So now we go to Beis. Let's go a little further. Let's see what he says further. Says Rabbeinu Yoina now, I want you to know that the truth of the matter is that v'lo yimotze, this is Rabbeinu Yoina's opinion, that v'lo yimotze, you will not find, he says, v'lo yimotze, you will not find ichra tshuva, the person to delay tshuva, you will not find it zulosi ba'ameyoritz. You'll only find it among people who are ameyoritz, who are ignorant people. That's what Rabbeinu Yoina classifies those people who do not take the opportunity to do tshuva. People are ignorant in many ways. He's talking about people, basically, who are ignorant in many ways. When we say that people are ignorant, meaning the following. They're ignorant in the way that, number one, he says, Ashrehem yishenim shoichvim. You have people, basically, they lie asleep. V'lo yeshivu elevavom. And therefore, they do not commit the facts to their hearts. They do not take the situation to their heart. There are people who lie asleep. V'loy das, v'loy tfun olahem. And they don't have neither knowledge nor understanding. Lehimolet al nafshom, to understand that they have to rush to save themselves. And then he says further, v'yesh mehem nidochim mal Hashem baruch hu. And then in fact, you have those who are basically, who are cast aside from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Lo yaminu lo yinashachet. Because you have some among people who push it, don't believe in the punishment of sin. So that's another reason why they are not rushing to do tshuva. Push it because they don't have the proper emunah. They don't have the proper emunah to understand that there is something called, which is the yinashachet. If we take a look for a moment, we'll realize that there are a number of issues, that there are a number of situations here of people, different categories of people, who basically delay to do tshuva. You have a situation, you have people who are yeshenim, you have people basically who are sleeping. You have people who are sleeping, which means they have no hisayiris to do tshuva, they're totally asleep. You have people that are loidas of loitvuna, which means they don't have any seichel. Push you to understand, a person's asleep, you can wake him up. You can wake him up. Then the person puts him with void das, void tuna. Does not have any das, has no knowledge, does not have any understanding. And then you have people, bechlal, who don't have any emunah. They don't have any emunah at all. Which means to say, in this area, they don't have any emunah. It says, lo yaminu lo yinashachet. And the truth is, you understand, there's the first sibah as you have is poshut is lack of your shemayim. That's really the first one. People who are lying asleep, lo yeshivu elavavam, they do not take the situation to the heart. You know what's the sibah for that? They're lacking your shemayim. They are lacking your shemayim, so therefore lo yeshivu elavavam. Then you have people lo das v'lo tuna, which is lack of das, lack of seichel, lack of knowledge. They don't understand what's going on. And then you have the third situation, which is chayser emunah. All these three things, all these three chesroinus that might be the cause of the person delaying tshuva cannot apply to a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham has to have amunah. Talmud Chacham has das and seichel. Talmud Chacham has to have Yerushalayim. That's which is implied from the words of Rabbeinu Yoina. As he goes on further to say, that the matter of fact, Chazal have told us, we know the Gemara in Brochus, that if in fact you did chance upon a Talmud Chacham, person is only a human being, Talmud Chacham did an Aveira at night, by morning you should assume that he definitely did tshuva, because he's a Talmud Chacham. Person can sin, person can sleep, can slip. But the very fact that he slipped does not mean he's going to allow the Aveira to remain on his person. And therefore the Gemara says, Al teharer achro b'yoyim, do not harbor any thoughts against him. Why? Ki vaday ose tshuva, because you have to assume that he certainly did tshuva. So again, so we see, interesting is, from night till day, so quickly we assume that the Talmud Chacham, not that he delayed it. If you saw Talmud Chacham, that he did an Avera Belaylo, so, al tahar achu b'yom, the very next day, 12 hours later, even a few hours later, from night till day, don't harbor any thoughts against him, any negative thoughts, but rather you have to give him the benefit of the doubt, you have to be Olam Hazchus, and you have to assume, being that he's a Talmud Chacham, Vadai osa tshuva. He definitely did tshuva. And the truth is, what Rabbeinu Yoina is telling us here, his bemes is very much consistent with what the Zohar HaKodesh tells us in Parashas Korach. And I'll read you the lashon of the Zohar HaKodesh in Parashas Korach. The Zohar says as follows. And the Zohar is talking really to any Erlich Hayid, a person really who knows and understands my chovosa be'olomo. It's not talking dafke to extreme people. The Zohar says, b'cholaylo v'laylo, each and every night when you go to sleep and you say Krishma Alamito, you're not just saying Krishma Alamito. It really means that you're doing tshuva for whatever you did during the day. So says the Zohar. As a matter of fact, the Zohar says the following lashon, b'cholaylo v'laylo, ad lo yishkav, till he lies down, v'ad lo yinoim, until he basically falls asleep, boi barnash lemevet so prior to really going to sleep, prior to closing your eyes, a person should make a cheshbon on nefesh, keep an accounting, keep a cheshbon for what you did the entire day, says the Zohar HaKodesh. And he says, v'yosef minayu. Now that you made accounting, don't say, okay, now I know. No, do tshuva. V'yosef minayu. To make an accounting, make a cheshbon, and do tshuva, he says, v'yiboy alayu rachmei. And the male be mispalel for Kodesh Baruch Hu to share rachmonis on you and to forgive you and so on. And do tshuva. So what do you see from here? You see from here that before actually going to sleep, one can assume that there's a chazaka that a Talmud Chacham will comply. And that's why the Gemara says in Brochus, what Rabbeinu Yoina says, if he did not aver at night, by day, by the next morning, assume that he did tshuva. Why? Because you don't go to sleep without tshuva. Not as according to the Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh just told us right now that every night, before you go to sleep, make a cheshbon on nefesh and do tshuva. That could be the reason why Rabbeinu Yoina quotes Taka the Gemara in Brochus' explanation. The Gemara in Brochus that tells that Talmud Chacham did an Aveira at night, by the next morning, right, assume that he did tshuva. Why by the next morning? Because if he did Aveira at night, so one can take for granted, he would not go to sleep, he would not lie down, until really he made a cheshbon on nefesh, like the Zohar HaKodesh says, to do it. Pre-World War II, in a city called Salish, there was a Choshev Talmud Chacham, a dying by the name of Rabbi Yonison Binyamin Katz, and who wrote a sefer called Nefesh Yonison. Very Choshev, a sefer ala Torah. And in Parshas Metzorah, he writes that, Shomati mipe kotshoi, I heard, he says, from the holy mouth, Shor Rabbeinu Hagoyin HaKodesh, Bal Mechaber Sefer Yetav Lev, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, Val Kol Yisrael. He said, I heard from the Yetav Lev, who was the Zayid of the Satmaruf, Sadmuv Zayi, the grandfather, was the Yetav Lev, was the Rav and Sigit. So he said, he heard from the Yetav Lev, he said, B'psichil amiris ha-hoishanis b'yoy m'shan rabba. Yetiv Lev, which is, by the way, the minig of all the descendants, the Satmar did the same thing. The hours of Hashanah. Hashanah Rabbah is like Yom Kippur. If anybody just had the opportunity, just to go to Satmar Bis Medrash, the davening goes until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, literally, and it's bechias and crying. You would not believe it. Maybe more than Yom Kippur. I'm not sure if Yom Kippur equals it. It's a tremendous experience. And the Rebbes would give a lot of drushes. I mean, a lot of talking between the Hashanahs. Hashanah Laman Cholikein, Hashanah Laman Chaboy Rein, and so on. And each of the phrasing, and different kavanas every year with new kavanas and lefi chayves hashoah to bring out the yisoyres as man things that need to be rectified and so on and so forth. So the psiche by the Miras Hashanahs. So he said the Yetiv Lev said. By the way, he says he writes the sefer here as I have Nefesh Yonison. Says Ashrei Ayin Raasa Eila. He said fortune is the eye who was there. That and was able to see it, to have that experience. And he says on the Pasuk, it's a fascinating pshat from the Pasuk, Zechor Yomoy Soilom. The Pasuk says, remember the history of the Jewish people, the way it used to be. Zechor Yomoy Soilom, Binu. And try to understand Shinoi Zdor Vador. Try to understand things that happened in every generation. Pasuk says, Zechor Yomoy Soilom. So the Yetiv Lev said, listen, he says, the Tachlis, of course, as the Svarim HaKadoshim says, is a person, hopefully, we pointed out from the Zohar HaKadosh, you don't wait till all the Averis accumulate, but rather you try, hopefully, the best thing, if you can do it, make a Cheshbon Nefesh at least on a daily basis. Make a Cheshbon Nefesh on a daily basis. By the way, if you do, the Sefer Nefesh Yonison says that might be Pshat in the Pasuk, a beautiful Pshat, we say in the davening every day, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. What do we say there? David HaMelech says, Be'erev Yolin Bechi V'Laboiker. So he says a beautiful Pshat. He says, Be'erev Yolin Bechi. If a Yid goes to sleep at night with Bechias, V'Laboikerina, in the morning you can rejoice. That is living a life of a Yid. Be'erev Yolin Bechi. If this is your Seder Hayoim, that each and every night you go to sleep with Bechia, as you really make a Cheshbon HaNefesh, so V'Laboikerina, then the next morning you can rejoice. Because then you live your life the way a Yid is supposed to live his life. Unfortunately, not all of us, and maybe very few, are on that Madrega to really do it the way appropriately. So there are some who at least do it once a week. Do it on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, listen, once a week. The week is coming to a close. So make a Cheshbon HaNefesh at least on Erev Shabbos, said the Yetiv Lev. And he said Shabbos, rearrange the letters, is the Oisis Toshev, doing tshuva. So if you're not a person, a daily person, to tshuva, so at least do tshuva, he says, once a week. No, not all of us are in the Madrega, he says, to do tshuva, he says, every week. But maybe at least once a month, that's why Erev Rish Chodesh. There are many, many people who do Yom Kippur Kotan. The Chofetz Chaim was very much for that. He says it's easier to pay your debts. It's a piecemeal. He says every Chodesh, he says you pay a little bit. You wait till all the Chodesh accumulate, then you can't pay. So you got to take it month by month, he says, and get rid of it. Wipe it out until it really accumulates to a fortune. You're not going to be able to pay. You'd be such a tremendous Baal Chodesh. So at least if it's not every day, if it's not every Erev Shabbos, at least it should be once a month. Avraham Avinu, of course, he was the big Baal Madrega. So he said, Pshat v'Avraham Zokein Bo Bayomim. The mile of Avraham Avinu was that Bo Bayomim, which means that he came with each and every day. That he was Mesakin each and every day as the day went by, as the day passed. Avraham Avinu actually was Mesakin each and every day. We're not all Avraham Avinus. Maybe Erev Shabbos. We're not all that Madrega either. Maybe at least once a Chodesh. Well, he says, unfortunately, not many of us even are Nisoyrer, are aroused to do tshuva even once a month, but at least once a year, he says. Once a year. It comes Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, so we do tshuva. So he says, look how it has changed. Tzaddikim of the past, certainly if you go from Avraham Avinu's time, Baba Yomim. But you don't need Avraham Avinu, there were great tzaddikim each and every time. They used to do tshuva on a daily basis. We have fallen so much, said the Yetiv Lev. We don't do it on a daily basis. We don't do it on a weekly basis. We don't do it on a monthly basis. Maybe we do it on a yearly basis. So he said pshat like this. Listen to this pshat. And this is what the Nefesh Yonison says. I heard him say it on Hashanah Rabbah. The Yetiv Lev said, Zechay, remember, Yemois Oilam. It used to be a life of Yemois, of days. Every day meant something. You were Mesakin each and every day. That's what it used to be. But being able to understand, Shenois Dor Vador. The doors have changed into years. What used to be Yemois, what used to be days, but the ensuing and the subsequent generations turned into years. Instead of doing tshuva day by day, we do tshuva year by year. And anyway, so this is the Hisairis that we see over here that Rabbeinu Yoin is telling us, that Rakaponim Baratamad Chocham, One can assume that if you did an Avera Belailah, he's not waiting for next week, he's not waiting for next month, certainly he's not waiting for a year, he's not even going to wait till another day goes by. Imriso Talmud Chocham, Shavra Avera Belailah, Sal Tehara Achrav, even Beyoim, even the next day, don't harbor any negative thoughts against him. Why? Because certainly one can assume that in fact that he did tshuva. So let's take a look here, that we have here on the sheet, Rabbi Yisai. We'll take a look here at the sheet. And it comes in, the first thing is we have some words of from Ramat Yisrael Solomon, actually. This is the first chelik, the Sefer Matnas Chelkoi. And he points out really what the definition of a Talmud Chochem is. Because it says over here again, if you saw a Talmud Chochem that did an aveir at night, so do not be mahara b'yoim, because why? Because he definitely did tshuva. So he points out as follows. V'yom Rabbi Seinu Zechroinam Levrocha. Says Chazal told us im ra'isa tam chochem shavra avera belailo al tehar achra biyoyim ki be'emes or bevadai osa tshuva. In other words, v'hainu, what Rabbeinu Yoyin means to say shemizeh lomad Rabbeinu, because Rabbeinu Yoyin is telling us shema achrim tshuva heim amoritz. In other words, where did Rabbeinu Yoyin get this notion that people who delay tshuva, they are labeled amoritzim? In other words, you ask people, what's called an amoritz? An amoritz is somebody who didn't learn anything. It's not true. What Rabbeinu Yoyin is telling us, and you'll see Ramat Yisrael Solomon is pointing this out. You could have someone who is baki b'chol ha-Torah kul, he knows all of Shas, and he's an amoritz. You hear that? New definition of an amoritz. An amoritz does not mean someone who did not learn, who does not know. You can have someone who knows kol ha-Torah kul. You have someone who's a baki b'shas, and yet he's an amoritz. Why? Because when he's chayte, he delays doing tshuva. Where do you get that from? Because being that the Gemara says, Imre Yisra Talmud Chocham, Shovra Avera. A Talmud Chocham, who is called a Talmud Chocham, if he does an Avera, it means he did tshuva b'yayim. So what's the converse? But if someone who does an Avera does not do tshuva b'yayim, he's not a Talmud Chocham. Because if he was a Talmud Chocham, the Hanhogiv a Talmud Chocham means that he does not delay doing tshuva. So you can know Dalat Chelke Shulchan Aruch. You can know every aspect of Torah and still you're classified as an Amoritz. It's an amazing notion, amazing idea. So let's take a look further. Again, V'hainu Shemizel Lomad Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu Yoyne learned this idea, Shema Achrim Tshuvahem Amoritz. Where did he get it from? That those who delay doing Tshuvah are Amoritzim. Shari Imhoyu Tamir Chachom, because if they would have been Tamir Chachomim, Vadai Hoyoisim Tshuvah. Now what's the reason for that? Now, Matzisyot Salman wants to explain what's the reason, in fact, if someone who delays doing tshuva, so why is he not called a Talmud Chocham? Why is he not called Talmud? He knows all of Shas. He knows everything. He knows so much. Why is he not, what's it got to do with the shame Talmud Chocham? You might say, he's a Talmud Chocham, maybe he's not such an El Chayit. He's not such an observant Jew, maybe. But why is it take away from the shame Talmud Chocham? Someone who delays doing tshuva, there's something missing in the title of Talmud Chocham. Why? The question is, we have to ask ourselves, why is the Talmud Chocham called with these words? He's the Talmud of Chocham. He's a Talmud Chocham. Which means as follows. V'hu mishum. He says, sheyesh kol mina chocham is b'yolam. The truth is, there's all types of wisdoms, all types of disciplines in the world. Goy cheshbon, you have mathematics, you have mada, you have science, you have philosophy. V'yesh gam chocham is ha-toyre. Dahainu. Sheyesh l'manoshim, there are people hamaleim chochma, fil chochmas ha-toyre. Yeah, people possess all kinds of chochmas. Among all the chochmas that they know, they also know Torah. And yet, they are considered these kind of people who know so many different disciplines, including Torah, and yet they might be the lowliest people of society, in spite of all of the disciplines that they know, that they possess. Vaday nechshovim l'pchusei hador. They can have all the knowledge and all the areas of knowledge. And yet, they are the lowliest of the generation. The ein lahem din Talmud Chocham. Af sheyesh lahem yediyos nefloyes ba-Torah. Yediyos nefloyes. They can have amazing yediyos, amazing knowledge in Torah, and they are not Talmud Chachomim. Vahatam. Mishum shebechines Talmud Chocham hu Talmud shel Chochma. What's Talmud Chocham? Talmud Chocham means you're a student of Chochma. What means a student of Chochma? That Chochma taught you something. How are you behaving? It's like the old word, like the Kotzke Rebbe said. When this person came and said to the Kotzke Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, gewaltige news for you, that I learned Kol HaShas. And Rebbe said, and what did Shas teach you? says, Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud of Chacham. If you're a Talmud of Chacham, means that Chacham taught you something. If you're a student of Chacham, if you're a student of Chachma, Chachma taught you something. That means that it demands a particular mode of behavior befitting someone who is a Talmud Chacham. That's what a Talmud Chacham means. V'hainu, a Talmud shel Chachma. Talmud Chacham means he's a Talmud, he's a student of Chachma. V'hainu, shechachmosa melamdesoy ma ve'eich lasa is called over. The Chachma teaches him how to behave. V'im ein chachmosa melamdesoy, and if the Chachma does not teach him anything, ve'ein hu chayim chachmosa, if you don't live up to what your Chachma is, if you're not living with your Chachma, you don't live up to the Chachma, is raya here? It's a raya she'ein hu talmud chacham el nechshev lamoris. Because talmud chacham means you're a student of that chachma, that chachma taught you something. But if you don't live up to the chachma, then the chachma didn't teach you anything. You're not a talmud chacham. You're something else. You're not a talmud chacham. The title talmud chacham is where the chachma was mashpia on you. The chachma changed you. The chachma taught you. The chachma fashioned you. The chachma molded you. That's what a true Talmud Chacham is. And he says further. He says, "Umezeh efshel lahavchim bin Talmud Chacham." He says, "Le'amoritz." This is the way to distinguish between a Talmud Chacham to an Amoritz. He says, "Im chayav kishurim el chachmosoi." If his life is synonymous, if his life is harmonious with his chachma, nechshuv Talmud Chacham hayudeya ma chotoi ma oso. He knows what his chet is. He knows what he did. Then you can rely on Bevada Yosef Tshuva. Because Talmud Chacham means that he lives with his Chachma. So he's not going to delay. He's not a Talmud Chacham. He's one of the Kalim Shebedar. One of the lowliest people. Listen to this further. We find in Chazal, the truth is, you know, when you see a Talmud Chacham, and there's a Chiev Rabbi Yisai, right? You stand up for every Talmud Chacham. Now, when the Talmud Chacham walks by, you're standing up for the Talmud Chacham. Why are you standing up for the Talmud Chacham? Right off the bat, probably 9 out of 10, or 9 and 3 quarters, 9.9 out of 10, I don't know how you break it up between people, they're going to say, you're standing up, what do you mean? He's a Talmud Chacham, he's a Godel B'Toyre. The show of Solomon shows it's not like that. You stand for a Talmud Chacham, stand up, because he's a Yerushalayim. Where do you see that? It's Beferish Gemara. Umatzina b'chazal shekol kovet shemechuyv litna Talmud Chacham hu oides madreges yirosoi. In other words, the more Torah he has, supposedly he is a greater Yerushalayim as well. So the vort is Yerushalayim. The more Torah he has, hopefully he has more Yerushalayim. The Isa b'Shabbos. Listen to this Gemara. The Gemara says Masechta Shabbos Omer Rabbi Yehuda Eloi Bora Kodesh Baruch Hu Soi Lomoi El Kedei Sheyiru Milfonof. Because God created the world in order that we have Yerushalayim, that we have awe, that we have reverence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the tachlis of Bria Soilon. We revere HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar the pasuk says in Koheles, V'olekim oso sheyiru mufonov. A pasuk mufurish in Koheles. Says the Gemara the following little story. Listen to this story. Says the Gemara, Rav Simon and Rav Elazar. Rav Simon and Rav Elazar, these two people have a yazdi, were sinning. Cholif ve'ozel Rabbi Yankiv Baracha. So passed by a person by the name of Rabbi Yankiv Baracha. He was a person who deserved to stand up for him. So in fact, so one of these two who were sitting, Rav Simon and Rav Loza were sitting, Omalei Chad L'Chavrei. So one of the two said, one said to the other, Neiku Mekamei. Let us stand up for this Rabbi Yankiv who is passing by. Why? Because he said, Degever dochil chatoyinhu, because he's a person who is afraid of sin. He's a Yerushalayim. So one person said, let's stand up for him. He deserves that we should give him honor. He deserves we should stand up. Why? He's a Yerushalayim. He's afraid of sin. Said the other one, Omaloyidach, he said, Neiku mekamei, let us stand up for him. Degever baruryinu, because he's a Talmud Chacham. In other words, one pointed out the virtue that we should stand up for him because he's a Yerushalayim. The other one said that maybe the reason we should stand up for him is why? Because he's the Talmud Chacham. Omalei said the first one, what are you telling me? What are you saying to me? Amin alochano, I told you he possesses a virtue, the gever dochel chatoinhu, he's a Yerushalayim, he's afraid of sin. But amritli at barurian, you're telling me he's a Talmud Chacham, peishrashi kleimer, ato miyata tobishvachoi, you have reduced his shvach. Yerushalayim is higher than Talmud Chacham, knowing a lot of Torah. I said that he deserves to be honored because he's Yerushalayim. So you turn around to tell me he deserves to be honored because he's Talmud Chacham. You took away from his praise. I praised him more. I said he's a Yerushalayim. And you're telling me he's a Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's a learned man. What do you see from this Gemara? Who stands higher? What stands higher is the Yerushalayim. Dom Rabbi Yochim Mishim Rabbi Lozer, Eino Lekosh Bochum Balomoy, Ela Yerushalayim Bilvat. So you see that Yerushalayim, that is the cornerstone. That is what keeps the world going. That is the purpose of Bris Oilam. Shirem Adol Pozik says, Va'ato Yisroel, Mo Hashem Lekecha Shoyim Yimoch, what is Hashem asking from you? Ki'im Le'yiro. Right, this is the Iker. That's what Kosh Bochum wants. Now, look on top. Let's go to the next column, all the way on top. So Rav Mashiach asks a simple question. So you have here that one of the members who were sitting there, both great people, the first one said the reason we should stand up for Rabbi Yankiv is why? Because he is Yerushalayim. He has the virtue of Yerushalayim. The other one said no, because he knows a lot of Torah. So he responded and said, what I said is bigger. What I said is more. What did I say? He's a Yerushalayim. Rav Mashiach says, it does not seem that way from the Psukim in the Torah. Because what's the lashon of the posik to stand up for a Talmud Chacham or to stand up for? It says v'hodarto p'nei zokein, that you should honor the face of a zokein, literally meaning the elder person. But the Gemara darshins, what does zokein mean? Ze shekona chochma. So what is the emphasis on the chochma, on the wisdom that one possesses? So it seems from the Torah that the reason that we give honor because someone possesses a lot of Torah. Let's take a look. V'hikshar marsho. The marsho asks this kasha. The Gemara here tells us that the reason or the main reason to stand up and to give kavod is because of one's Yerushalayim. But the chiyuv lamoid b'fnei Talmud Chacham lamadnu, we learn out the obligation to stand up for Talmud Chacham because it says, v'hodarto p'nei zokin, should honor the face of a zokin. And what does zokin mean? The zokin who zeh shekona chochma, lav davki yira. So chochma. The teret zal, v'zeh l'shoinet. So the Mashiach says, and the pshat is like this, Elo devadai bim ein Yerushalayim. Listen what the Mashiach says. He can know all the Torah in the world. One thing is certain. If he's not a Yerushalayim, the ein oyndim bifonov. We would not stand up for him. Da afila begavre, even a person, the bar urian, who he can be a very learned person. Imhu palgoa, for example, he quotes another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Sechtes Gittin. Palgoa means someone who is a baal machloikis. Palag means half. Plug. Right? If someone's a baal machloikis, you can have a lot of Torah. But if he has deficiencies in his character, you don't stand up for him, even though he has a lot of Torah. As he quotes, the Mashiach quotes, that Phil, if he's a Gavra Bar Urian, he could be a very learned man, imhu palgoe, loy neku mikame, he will not stand up for him. Kemrim beperkame de gitten, gabe genive. The Gemara says by genive, that there was Shmuel and his companion that were sitting, and genive was walking by. So one said, let us get up, let's stand up, because genive was a Tamrom, a person by the name of genive was a Tamrom. And the other said to him, we should stand up for him. He's a palgur. He's a baal machloikis. So you see, merely possessing Torah is not enough. There's more to it, says the Mashiach. So one thing is clear. He says, a person who is a Talmud Chacham, but he's not a Yerushalayim, you don't stand up for him. What about the other way? A Yerushalayim who's not a Talmud Chacham, the Mashiach says, if you don't have knowledge in Torah, you can't be a real Yerushalayim. You have to have a basis. You have to have a basic knowledge of Torah also. He says, "V'gavre de dochil chatoin, a person who has fear of sin, nami v'loy." He says, "V'loy have bar orion vada d'loy mishtakches." You don't have such a metzias. To have a true Yerushalayim, a meaningful Yerushalayim, if he does not have any level of Torah, does not have really Torah, so you don't find it. Why? Ein bur yerechet. Ein bur means someone who is ignorant cannot be a true Yerushalayim. So here. Yerushalayim has Torah as well. So now Yerushalayim has Torah as well, and when you stand up for him, what is the main point? It's not the Chelik Torah you're standing up for. What you're standing up for is the Chelik Yerushalayim. That's what you're standing up for. So. But he has Torah too. Ela d'hoche komar. What the Gemara means to say, the Yoyser Yeshlonu Litlois B'Yeris Chetoy, that basically we attribute and we give honor more for his Yerushalayim, Litlois B'Chachamosoy, because why? Kedemasik ein lo laKodesh Baruch Hu boilomoy. At kal mashoni, so says the Mashiach. V'hainu, what comes out, what emerges from the Mashiach, shemachriya b'hachiyev kim lo Talmud Chacham. He has both. He has Torah and Yerushalayim. But what's the machriya? What's the main nekuda? Why do we stand up for him? That's yirosoy. That in fact is his yirah. So that becomes really the criterion. That really becomes the nekuda of why we stand up for him. So, Akaponim, so this is one nekuda, and this is what we have learned here again from Rabbeinu Yoina. The definition of a Talmud Chacham is not how much Torah he has. The definition of a Talmud Chacham is how much Yerushalayim he has. And therefore the Gemara says, if you saw a Talmud Chacham did an aver at night, you can surely assume that he did tshuva by day, because otherwise he's not a Talmud Chacham. Now, I want to just give you a small example. Look at number two. This is from the Sefer B'Yoyis HaBoiker, Parshas Yisroi, from Shol Brach, who was the Rav in Kasho, was from the G'doyli Yisroel before World War II, was a tremendous Kenoy as well, and he was a Talmud of the Maharam Shik. He was a Talmud of the Maharam Shik only one Zman. He was very young, Reb Shol Brach. The Maharam Shik passed away. Maharam Shik was Reb Moshe Shik, who was one of the G'doyli Talmidei Chassam Sofer, one of the greatest poskim of all time. Shal Sechuv is Maharam Shik. And he writes here, Reb Shol Brach writes in his Sefer B'Yoyis HaBoiker, he had a brother-in-law by the name of Reb Shmuel Brach. By the way, our well-known Reb Shmuel Brach, it was an einikel here, of Reb Shmuel. The Gisi Hagoy Moreno Reb Shmuel Brach, Zatzal, Aiv Bezen, who was the Rav of the Kehila Kedoshi near Madi, Siper. Reb Shmuel Brach was also a Talmud of Maharam Shik. And he writes the following, very fascinating thing. Shebiker, he once visited as Moran Hagoyin Atzadik Maharam Shik Zatzal, Bechol Yoy Lifnei Petirosoy. He visited him when the Maharam Shik was sick before his Petir. V'hoya kolei vorov, and all of his limbs, his entire body, mikaf regel vadroish nefuchim. He was swollen from head to toe, literally. This is the yesurim that the Maharam Shik suffered toward the end of his life. V'om aloi moron zatzal. And the Maharam Shik said to his Talmud, who came to visit him, said the Maharam Shik, shemizchanein, he is being mispalo, he's begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lichyois. He says, to live, halavai I can live in this matzif. Halavai can continue to live in the matzif. I feel a nigzer all of sheyishka b'mitte kol yomov. Even if the gzeir min ha-shamayim would mean, I should lie in bed kol yomov k'moy ko'es, like now. V'lo yibikoy choy lasis mumo, not be able to move anything, to do anything. V'chol zois merutze lishka b'yesurim. He agrees and wants to lie in Yisurim. Rak sheyizke loimer pamachas b'yoyim mishema ad echod. Zechus yogim al kol Yisurim. Goyin oilom, Yishmayim. It's kedai to live your entire life in Yisurim, paralyzed, licking, lying in bed, to say once a day, Shema Yisurim. Who has this madregis? These are the gedoy loilom. That's why they were zochet the Torah. These are the true Talmid HaChomim. Poiske Hador. It's not just the knowledge in Torah. But as a matter of fact, the siyata d'shmai that he had to the greatness in Torah because of the hanhoga, the tremendous avodas Hashem, the tremendous dedication to Yerushalayim. Ramshik says, I mispalel, Rabbi Shem, allow me to live in this matziv, if I have to, if that's my gzeirah. To live, kol yomav, not to be able to do anything, like now lying in bed, I can't do anything, he says. It's kedai for me to continue living a lifetime, to be able to have this chus, to say Shema Yisrael, he says, every day. You have an idea. This is what it means. This is what we're talking about. This is what Rabbeinu Yoni says. This is the true Talmud Chacham. Chacham, the true Yerushalayim. This is the Talmud Chacham that Chazal are talking about. Not that we say today Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud Chacham. It's a use. It's a borrowed lotion. You apply these titles to anybody. But Chazal, Rabbeinu Yoni, Rishonim, they spoke about a Talmud Chacham. This was the all-encompassing Talmud Chacham. It was the tremendous Yerushalayim that they possessed. Which had this tremendous Siyata Dishmaya, the tremendous Siyata Dishmaya that they had in Torah. So just to finish off this idea, let's take a look here on the left side, number three. A very tremendously fascinating pshat, in the Gemara that we are quite familiar with. So in the Sefer Shara Oira is the son-in-law of Rav Shach, Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman. He brings down here the famous Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis. But the Gemara tells us, just make a small agdoma, there was a famous machlekes between the Tana Reb Lezer and the Chachomim regarding a particular oven. It was known as the Tana Rach Shalachnoi. It was a shayla, without going into the halachi details, just very simply, Reb Lezer paskin that this Tana, this particular oven is tohar, it's not mekabel tumah. Memela, all the taharis or tumah that was put in there remain pure, because the oven did not transmit tumah to the Taharis, because this particular oven is Torah. The Chachamim violently, very fiercely disagreed and said that the Tanur is Tomei. And if they put in anything of Kedusha, Kochim, or Taharis truma into that oven, you have to burn it. It's tummy. And Reb Lezer stubbornly continued to disagree with the Chachamim, even though he was outnumbered. He continued to disagree. And as a matter of fact, he marshaled all kinds of proofs. He marshals proof min hashamayim. He marshaled all types of miracles that if I'm right, let this happen, let that happen. For example, here are a number of proofs to show that Shemayim agrees with him, not with the Chachamim. The Gemara says, we just have part of it here. Tona, we learned in a Braise. Boisa hayoyim that day, Heishiv Reb Lezer called Tshuve Shebi'olam. He marshaled all types of arguments to prove that he is right. The Chachamim did not accept it. They disagreed with him. Omalahem, so Reb Lezer said, listen, im halacha kemoisi, to prove that the halacha is on my side, choruv zeh yochiach, there was a carob tree there. He said, let the carob tree show who is right. A nes happened, nekar choruv mimkoimoi meyo amo, the choruv uprooted itself, apines, 100 amos, vomlo, some say, dalad meyes amo, to show that Reb Lezer is right. The carob tree proved. The shit is like Reb Lezer. Omru loy, the Chachomim said, ein mevin raim in a charuv. And the Gemara goes on, he performed miracle upon miracle, and the Chachomim did not accept it. Finally, Chodav Yomar lehem, im alochi kemoisi min ha-shamayim yechichu. If I'm right, let a voice, a heavenly voice, come up min ha-shamayim, to say who's right. The Gemara says, yotus ha-baskoil, a baskoil comes up min ha-shamayim v'omro. Ma lochem eitzel. He says, Reb Lezer, shalochi kemoisa b'chol makom. Came a baskel in a shemaim, he said, what do you want from Reb Lezer? Shemaim clearly pronounced, declared, the halach is like Reb Lezer. The Chum didn't accept it. You know why? Torah led by shemaim he. There could come out a voice of in a shemaim, Torah was given down on this earth. Doesn't make a difference what shemaim thinks. It's an amazing thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah b'matonet. We are the balabatim on the Torah. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it that way. So no matter what shemaim thinks, the halach is paskin the way we conclude down here, the way the Chachomim paskin over here. And therefore they said, the Torah said, the Gemara says, that Omad Rabbi Yeshua al-Ragel of Shua got up and he said, Loi b'shamayim hi, Torah loi b'shamayim hi, and we are not mashgir b'baskoil. He goes on to say, we're skipping a line or two, Chakosavto b'har Sinai b'Torah, it says, Achrei rabim lahatois. We follow what the Torah says down here. It says, we go b'saray, we follow the majority. The majority disagree with Reb Lezer, and being that the majority disagree with Reb Lezer, so therefore we don't care what Shemaim says. Achrei rabim lahatos. What happened? Listen to the last line here. So the Gemara concludes and says, Omru oitza hayoim, heviu kol taharoi shetir Reb Lezer. All the taharois, all the truma that Reb Lezer said is tohor, because he tainted, he maintained that his oven, right, that oven does not contaminate. They brought all the taharos, visorfum ba'esh, they burnt it to show that he was wrong, that in fact the tanur is metameh, and therefore, the taharas needed to be burnt. In addition to that, they put him in cheirin. They excommunicated him. The nimnu olav, and therefore they convened, they came together, and they barchuhu, and they put him in cheirin. There's one basic question, Rabbi Isai. Everybody knows Achiram Lahatis. Did Reb Lezer not know that posik? Achiram Lahatis? How did Reb Lezer, till the last minute, he didn't back down? They had to put him in cheirin. Even though it says a posik achram lahatos, he still stubbornly did not give in. It's a hafla v'fel, and they had to put him in a cheirin. He did not back down. Does he not know the posik achram lahatos? Who asked the kasha? The Rishalmi himself. You know where? Not in Bav Masiyah. The Gemara that we just quoted Bav Masiyah. The Rishalmi is in Masechtas Moed Kotten. Take a look at the next paragraph. V'omnom kvar omdu al zeh Rabbi Seinu b'talmud Yerushalmi Moed Kotten perigimel v'zelushoin. Yerushalmi says, Veles Reb Lezer Yoda she'achram lahatois. Did Reb Lezer not know achram lahatois? Did he not know that? And Rishalmi answers. Listen to this. Loi hikpid ela al yedei she'sarfu taharoisov befonav. Ad kan l'shoinu. What does it mean? What is the answer? Does Reb Lezer not agree? Does he not know the posik achram lahatois? Reb Lezer had a poda that they burnt the taharos in his face. How does it answer the question? Comes the Korban Eidah. Listen, it's a fascinating teretz. Upirish ha-Korban Eidah. Kim shesorfu taharoisov b'fonov, choshav Rabbi Elezer shemaseyem shloi l'shem shomayim. Being that they went ahead, they burnt it in his face, Reb Lezer came to the conclusion that what they're doing is not l'shem shomayim, rak la'achisoi, to get him angry. Shehoi lehem lochush lechvoidoi, u'lesorfom shloi b'fonov. At least they could have burnt it out of his face, not in front of him. Lekach loy choshash leminyan harabim shalem. In other words, if you see the kavoy mekakavona of the Korban Eda, to be a dayin, it's not enough you know Torah, Rabbi Yisrael. To be a dayin, you have to behave in the way that Torah demands. To be a dayin, to have sati dishmaya, to paskin, it demands a character of Torah. It demands a sensitivity to the feelings of another person. You can agree, disagree with me. You have to disagree with me if you don't agree with me. You have a right to disagree, but it has to be done with their cheres. In other words, if the Chachomim disagreed, and they felt that these taharas have to be burnt, why did they have to go ahead and burn into his face? That's like a pachim punim. It's like meraitzach mitem. Like you're teasing him. You're taharas, eh? You say it's tahar. We're burning it in front of your face. Why you have to burn it? You want to make the point? Burn it in the corner somewhere. Burn it in the garage. Burn it behind the scene. Why did you go dafke, premeditated, you planned it, where I am, in front of my face? That means you don't have the sensitivity to the hargosha of another person. If you don't have the sensitivity to the feelings of another person, then he passed them from being dayonim. Acher rabim lahatois is when you're a qualified dayin, so we go after the roif. But if you're not a dayin, what kind of acher rabim lahatois? The blessed did not see a rabim in front of him. You are posel a dayonim. Why are you posel a dayonim? Because you burned the taharas of my face. That's not a talmud chacham. Talmud chacham, you can know kol ha-toyre kule. You can know all of Shas, but if you're not a Dochel Chatoyim, if you're not a Yerushimayim, you don't behave, you don't have the sensitivity to the Hagosh of another person, you're not a Dayan. That's not a Talmud Chacham. For all intents and purposes, you're an Amoritz, as Rabbeinu Yoine points out. An Amoritz is not a Dayan. There's no Acharav Malhatis regarding people of this kind. This again cements the idea and the notion that we just learned right now. Within the eyes of the Torah means the Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham is a person who is sensitive to Aveira, who is Yerushimayim and behaves as such. By the way, I have to tell you that the Chazon Ish said many years ago, the truth is, you know, one of the greatest Gedolim, of course, of all time, Achroinim that we're talking about, was Rabbi Akiva Eiger. You know, the very few Rabbi Akiva Eigers around than there ever was. And certainly in our time, we have no Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And in days before also, there were no Rabbi Akiva Eigers. The Chazon Ish said this. It's Yitochin's very possible, he says, that in our time, said the Chazon Ish, there are Balei Kishrin like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. There are people who have the intellect in terms or the mental ability, the acuity like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Is he talking that there are people who are Balei Kishrin? Look, even Havdol Goyim, you have geniuses in the world. You have geniuses. So is he talking there are people who have the Kishrin of Rabbi Akiva Eiger? But you have no one today who has the Yerushimayim of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and therefore there will not be Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So Zeh Chazon Ish. Yerotzen, we should have a shtikel asoge and try to live up a little bit to how much we learned, the little that we learned, but it demands a new mode of behavior, a higher level of behavior, and hopefully, if Marisa Tam Chochom, or any of us, if we ever do an Aveira, al taharal b'yoyim, hopefully we'll do tshuva as soon as possible, and b'zoyche, b'mekai mitzvah tshuva kilchosah.